Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Forever Dog.
Rose and Jamie are two best friends,
and they love Sex and the City.
And they couldn't help but wonder,
do you love it too?
Carrie,
Miranda,
Samantha,
Charlotte,
Cosmos,
Emotions,
Frenchies,
dudes.
So many dudes.
Every single dude.
All the dudes.
And we couldn't help but wonder.
With Jamie Lee
and Rose Cerno.
I'm Jamie Lee.
And I'm Rose Cerno.
And this is Couldn't Help But Wonder.
A podcast where we talk about Sex and the City and how it relates to us. Hi, Jamie.
Oh my God, I cannot believe you are in New York. This is crazy.
I know.
My little West Coast correspondent is... She's here. She's here.
Sex and the City is finally a show where two girls are talking about it from New York City.
I know. Are you loving New York?
I'm freaking loving it. When Jamie lived in LA, which she kind of half does now.
Yeah.
She was always like, New York, New York. It's so much better. I miss New York. And I was always like, New York's lame. It's dirty. I hate. I was over it. And
you were.
Then I have to say, after a bone dry, lonely year where I probably spent 22 hours a day alone in my room watching television, being in New York, where everywhere I turn, there are throngs of cool, happy young people with great style, eating, drinking, sharing, laughing, socializing. It feels like I've died and gone to heaven, truly.
I know. No, I feel like I'm living in a musical. Like, I really feel like, yeah, there's just no place like it. It's like, yeah, I also love the balance of like people like work hard and play hard here. And that's like a really nice thing to remember that you can do. Like you can spend your days on your laptop and then you can like fucking go out
and
like get a drink. Yeah. And like kind of do whatever you want. It's like, it just feels very fun in
an extremely social. Yeah. It's more like Europe, like Paris or London or whatever, where like everybody of all ages after work reunites at a bar to talk and chat and socialize. It's very social.
Right.
And I mean, I hit a wall because when I got here, we missed recording last week because, I came to help my sister after giving birth and it's been a lot of family time. And also, my sleeping has been kind of off and then I've been socializing. So I kind of like, it's almost like if you haven't eaten for a while and then you go to a buffet and you gorge yourself. I was just like going out every night and like drinking and smoking cigarettes, which I don't do. And it's really fun, but it's kind of being a kid in a candy store after like the loneliness of LA to just have like, it feels like social abundance here.
I agree. I mean, the drinking alone, like,
I've been drinking so much more than I usually do.
I drink all the time now. I don't
drinking
know what's going
city.
On. I mean, like I've never cared about drinking. Even in college, I was like never a big drinker. And like, I don't know. I'm like Little Miss, like cocktail, like, you know, Molahete.
You never drank. Whenever we
I'm not a drinker.
Like,
now I'm a drinker. I love alcohol now. And it's
wait,
not,
I love you being Little Miss Cocktail.
Cool.
That's so cute.
Yeah, I'm kind of Little Miss Cocktail. Like I learned what bitters are. Like I'm really living it up.
Are you adding bitters to your drink, the sugar-free
I'm just
Red
kidding.
Bull vodka?
I don't. Okay, first of all, Skylar, Red Bull vodka is
drink.
Not a cocktail. That
first
is
of all,
not
Red Bull vodka is disgusting. I've never
okay,
had Red Bull,
Rose,
but I feel like it tastes like a sewer.
Back down, Rose, because it is my signature drink.
I openly wanted to throw Jamie a little under the bus because I find the drink so funny.
Jamie just told me to back down off of Red Bull is like maybe
okay,
the
first
best
of all,
thing we've
okay,
ever talked
first
about.
First of all, it's not just Red Bull, it's sugar-free Red Bull because I'm
it's
healthy.
Yeah.
It's the salad of drinks.
Oh so, my God, Jamie.
Anyways, but I love it because it like pumps you up, but also brings you down. Like it's just like a mood stable.
Jamie, are you like a 22-year-old PR student in Murray Hill right now? Like, who are you?
Okay, but I want to be clear. When I'm in New York, I am not going.
This is a different Jamie. It's like Clark Gable and Superman. Jamie in LA is a workaholic who doesn't socialize much unless it's like work related.
Right.
In New York, Jamie, and she's sober. In New York, Jamie's like a fun party girl who works hard and plays hard, puts that on her bio, work hard, play hard. And she's fun. She's Little Miss Cocktail and she's a Red Bull Princessa.
Okay. A Red Bull Princessa is going to be my new bio. It's definitely going to be merchandise. Red Bull Princessa is my favorite thing in the world. But no, I just want to be clear though. Like just for
clear
a second,
up, clear
I just want to set the record straight that when I'm in New York, I am not going to fancy schmancy cocktail bars and ordering a Red Bull vodka. Red Bull vodka is like what you do when like, it's you have to accomplish something.
That's what you do before you go to like a circuit warehouse party to dance for like 7 hours.
Red Bull vodka is such a genius drink. I've never felt better. I've never felt funnier, smarter, quicker.
cut to me hanging out with Jamie on Red Bull. And she's just like drooling and like her nipples out. And she's like, I've never been funnier. I'm like, I guess.
But it's like the pill from Limitless for Jamie.
It is. I love Red Bull vodka, but I don't think to order it here because everyone's like going for the cocktail menu. I feel like you have to have something that has, you know, like crushed mint or like those little dried orange slices that really kick it up a notch.
Something put into a drink with tongs.
Yeah, and like rose petals for no reason. Yeah. Or like
I love all that stuff.
A splash of lavender so it tastes like soap. Like, I don't know. There's something you have to, there's a way to make alcohol classy. And y'all, I have learned the ways, okay?
I'm just saying that when Jamie gets drunk off Red Bull, she's like, I'm the funniest, I'm the most beautiful. And I just cut to her like yelling at a bunch of like guy undergrads being like, I'm a catch. Like,
why don't you see me? Why don't you see
tears,
me?
Mascara. New York is a blast.
I'm young, I'm fun.
They're like, I'm worried about that mom.
They're like, mommy, leave us alone.
Whose mom is that? Tyler, is that your mom?
Whose drunk mom is that? Tell her to get off
campus. Because she is hot. She is hot, though. Like, all I'm going to say. She is a catch, honestly. I don't know who I'm kidding. Jamie, who were you this goddamn week?
Well, I guess... Wow, you know what? I feel like none of the girls on the show are ever hungover. They drink a lot, but do they ever explore hangovers?
I think the Atlantic City episode, there might be a little bit of hangover with Charlotte and Carrie when they're on the boardwalk early morning, but that's like it.
That's implied. That is not like explored.
Jamie, you're right, considering how they party on the show.
Okay, you know who I am, though?
Who?
You know who I am, though?
Who are you?
Steve, when he's working at the bar and like taking shots with customers, because I've been drinking way more. And this week on a fucking Tuesday, I was hungover and I was like so emotional. I don't know. Some people don't get hangovers. I mean, what is that like?
I can smell someone else's drink and get a hangover.
I feel so bad. I felt terrible. I was like, felt weepy. I was upset with like everything, everyone, irritable, sad. I was just like, what is this? And like, I know that drinking culture here is such a big deal. So I'm like, you know, I'm trying. And by the way, I'm not having like a ton of drinks, but I'm such a lightweight.
Also, if you have drinks with sugar, it can really make things worse.
That's it. I was going to bring that up. So I had a watermelon margarita the other night and it's like with
Barbie style over here. Were you wearing a muumuu? Were you wearing puka shells at the time?
But I did have a watermelon. And I just want to be clear. It wasn't watermelon flavored. It wasn't like a Jolly Rancher. It was like
in a watermelon.
Watermelon margarita on a Tuesday. Is Jamie
fresh,
really going for
fresh
it?
Watermelon.
That sounds delicious, actually.
With watermelon juice.
It sounds incredible.
It was fine. But anyways, yeah, I had two of them. And oh my God, the next day I was just like, what's the opposite of that song, Walking on Sunshine? Like, just
like moping and
like literally
rain.
Like yeah. Yeah, like Yeah, like Closer by Nine Inch Nails was just like on loop in my head. Just like
it's also a really hot
living,
song, actually.
Living. Just like a wait, is Closer the one? What's the one?
I wanna fuck you like an animal.
Yeah,
that's it. Okay. I think that's but a like, really amazing I song. Think,
okay, that it was that, but without the lyrics, just the feeling of that song.
Nine Inch Nails is hot as hell, I'm going to say.
I don't know what I'm even saying. The point is, I'm probably still hungover because I'm not making much sense. But anyways, it was a really rough day. The sun was very bright. I did not appreciate it.
I understand.
Yeah. So I'm Steve. Who are you this week?
I'm definitely a classic grade A Carrie. And I feel like that's going to honestly every week until this podcast is done, I'm going to be a Carrie because... Yeah. Now that I'm vaxxed, now that things are opening up, I'm just like hitting the town. I'm literally also, I just have to say, New York is so much easier to date. I was here for two nights before I met this like amazing guy that I've already been on a bunch of dates with. Like,
oh my God. Where did you meet him?
Just like at a bar, like chatting, like as it happens in New York. And he's like, he kind of reminds me of Steve. He's really handsome.
Oh.
You'd think he's really cute, Jamie, because he's like really handsome and Jewish and kind of like hairy and like just sexy and Mediterranean looking. But I just feel like
I don't appreciate the hairy part, but yes, the rest of it. Yes.
Oh, I love hairy.
Okay. Okay.
I love a hairy chest.
It's the chest. Sure. Of course.
Yeah, girl.
Yeah.
But I mean, I just met him. Who knows? And I'm going out with other people too, but it's just like, and just like having drinks and like getting dressed and hitting the town. So I just feel like a classic Carrie. I'm just like really enjoying myself, really having a great time in New York and just feeling myself
here. I wish you would just stay here.
I'm kind of looking for a sublet, honestly, in June
Please
and July.
Stay here.
I know. Help me find a sublet. Help me find somewhere to stay.
Ugh, I would love that. Also, you should come to Maine if you're still here.
Why? Where are you going to go?
I'm renting a house for a week in Maine.
Oh, that sounds fun. Maybe I'll come.
Yeah, come. You should come.
You're going to open up your bags and I'll be like, hi, I came.
Yeah, I'll show you. It's a really cool house. It's like right on a lake outside of Portland. Yeah. So
yeah, I'm kind of trying to like figure out how to stay. I've got like places like, you know, my sister's friend has an empty apartment for a week. I'm going to be there. Oh, so I'm kind of bouncing around.
That's the thing. I feel like it's like you can, I don't know. Yeah, I feel like I'm people like try to keep you here. I feel like LA kicks you out and New York tries to keep you.
Well, right now it's such a special time because it's like, everything's virtual. And so like, you know, if I get in a room, I don't have to be in LA. So I'm just trying to take advantage of it. Cause it's like our chosen career, 99% of the time you have to be in LA. And this is a magical once in a lifetime thing.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah, of course.
No, Rose, that's literally why I'm here. Because I'm like, when is this ever going to happen again?
No, it's not. As soon as the writer's rooms are in person again, we're in LA.
We're back. Yeah. Yep. So that's why I'm trying to just like kick it here and enjoy it because I know it's about to shift back at some point.
No, we have to do it as much as possible. I'm trying to find a place for June.
Yeah, you will. You will.
Can't wait to kick it with you.
Oh, can't wait. Can't wait. I can't wait to like, just be your sloppy friend.
You are my beautiful sloppy friend. I'm also excited to hang out with you more because spoiler alert, Jamie and I are very close and I love her like a sis, but we don't hang out much.
No, especially the past year.
I know. Yeah. I also have to say to the listeners, thank you guys. I'm sorry. Not recording last week was my fault. There's just been family stuff and everything's fine and everything's going to be okay. It's just priorities. And Jamie and Skylar were very sweet and flexible. So sorry, listeners, that you didn't get an episode last week.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. But also we get it.
Also life, family,
also life.
Family numero uno.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to tell you about episode 292 of Office Hours Live with our special guest, documentary filmmaker Lance Oppenheim. And musical guests, Melinda Sullivan and Larry Goldings. You can find us on your podcast app of choice.
And at
goodbye.
YouTube. And at YouTube.com.
And at YouTube.com/goodbye.
/Office Hours Live.
Okay, well, you know what? Today is a Today's a very special day because we are going to be finishing up finally.
One movie.
Well, actually, we have only have two or three more parts to the Sex and the City movie. No, today's part three. Today's the last
part one. 11.
Part one of the last seven parts. But anyways, part three, the third and final part of Sex and the City, the movie. That's what we're talking about today. So strap in because shit's about to get steamy. Rose, kick us off.
Wait, James, now that you're back in New York and you're living there, are you doing stand-up all the time? Like, is that part of your life now?
Mm-mm. I kind of
leave stand-up at the door. Just be a writer and actress.
I know. That's kind of where I'm at the moment. It's so tempting.
That's what everyone does.
Like, I know. I used to really frown upon it. I was like, that's so sad. And now I'm kind of like,
no, it's not. It's having all like growing up. You're going to have kids at some point. I mean, like,
well, it's also, I also really feel fulfilled from everything I'm doing and I'm busy. So I'm like, there's no part of me that's like, I'm not getting to be creative. It's like, I feel like this is going to sound shitty. Get ready.
No, just do it.
But I feel like I'm being creative in the ways that a lot of standups wish they were being creative.
Jamie, I started standup because I wanted to write for television because everyone who writes on a comedy TV show is a standup. And that's
but you were legitimately very funny at standup.
I agree.
And it is a crime that you don't do it.
Thank you.
So that needs to be known, but because a lot of people are not funny. But I feel like I think
it's not a lifestyle though.
I would want to do like a special at some point, but maybe like a different kind of special, like a one woman show Edinburgh thing. But I'm not really
feel like once a week. But the truth is, if you work during the day and you
I'm not Mark Norman, like I'm just not Mark Norman. That is
but not only that, Jamie. A big part of the reason why, oh my God, my hair is so ridiculous.
No, it's not. It looks cute.
But like, what is this? It's like that little Snoopy, that little Tweety Bird from Snoopy.
No, okay. It's not a Tweety Bird from Snoopy.
Well, all I'm saying is, Jamie, I mean, there's many reasons that I stopped doing stand-up, but the really big one is the way I was doing it in New York was like the Mike Lawrence way, which is like Annie Letterman way, which is like three shows a night, 7 days a week, no friends, no relationships. I refused to date comedians. I was so lonely. And I looked around and I said, what is the dream here that I'm traveling 300 days by myself and these lonely bars? That's the dream.
I'm kind of like.
And I looked around and a lot of the most popular, successful standups did not have relationships, did not have families. And I'm like, this isn't the life that I want. And
or they do have that barely.
But then they're
think
like,
about the greats. Sarah Silverman.
Yeah. Yes, of course.
Gary Shandling.
No. You're right. There are definitely more examples of what you're talking about. But the ones who do, like, I think of like Tom Papa.
I'm like, okay, Tom Papa is like a hard, like a stand-up. Like he's really funny. He's been doing it forever, makes a good living. Has a radio show with Fortune Feimster. Like he's a stand-up. And I'm like, I'm not trying to be fucking Tom Popper or Jim Gaffigan. Like, I don't know. I think it's cool that people
want a storyteller, a filmmaker, and you're just doing it in different ways.
Yeah. I just kind of am feeling like, I don't know. I feel like I want to make the shows and like make shows and like just put myself in them. That's really like all I want to do.
Yeah. I think it makes sense. I think it's great.
I do like doing stand-up. I just like I had a show last night and I canceled it. And I was like, there's something that is keeping me from wanting.
But there's a certain amount of work that is healthy and then a certain amount of work that's not healthy. For example, if you work all day from 9 to 5 and then at night you work from 7 to midnight, that's not a life. That's just simply not a life. And I think you are having a life for the first time in a really long time.
That's true.
And I think that's making you happier than I've seen you in a really long time.
Yeah.
And I think that is fulfilling the, maybe in times where you weren't as happy, working all day and all night was
That's right.
Okay, at least I have this.
That's right.
You don't need that anymore.
That is right. That is true. I think a lot of it has to do with feeling fulfilled and not.
There you go.
I'm not like clawing at anything. I mean, I'm still clawing, but because I'm not like, you never like stop trying.
Oh, you're ambitious, but you're not escaping your life.
No, I'm not escaping my life. That's right. I think that's right. So, all right. Okay. Well, this was great.
Okay.
Gotta go. Just kidding. Okay. Let's do this.
I hope you enjoyed the recap. Next week, we're also not going to talk about the show. I'm just going to say this right now because you guys might think, oh, we're talking too much, whatever. But I think the people that listen to this show, hi, love you guys. I think they are our friends and attached to us. So I think they like these conversations.
Yeah.
That's what I see in the comments. Everyone's like, just happy to hear us chit to the chat. Okay.
Chit to the chat.
chit to the chittle chat. Okay, so guys, the actual Sex and City movie. But actually, you guys, listen, all the shit we're talking about, it's the same shit that those girls deal with. Come on.
There we go.
So the final part of the Sex and the City movie opens after Carrie and Miranda's drugstore hang, with Carrie making a change. She dyes her hair brown. It's so dramatic. Louise doesn't even recognize her when she brings Carrie a phone to replace the one she threw into the ocean. Carrie is now officially a 347 area code, which she doesn't love. Carrie calls Samantha, who's deep into ogling her horned up neighbor. The guy sleeps with so many different people. He kind of reminds Samantha of, well, Samantha. And I just have to say something quickly about Sarah Jessica Parker's hair, because I have to say, as like a long time, lifelong brunette who has never dyed my hair blonde and never will, I think Carrie looks so much better blonde. And I'm not sure, this was the discussion Jamie and I were having, was I'm not sure if they purposely chose a shade of brown that honestly kind of made her look older and less vibrant and fun, because I wonder if there's like a beautiful shade that they specifically didn't do because they wanted to show that this is like depressed Carrie, or
that's possible,
or because like the truth is Sarah Jessica Parker is naturally a brunette, and I'm even myself, like there's different shades that make me look way more stunning than others. And so I'm just wondering if that was a choice where they're like, you know what, if we go kind of dark and severe, it'll show that she's kind of depressed. Whereas if we,
I think that's a good assessment, because it's a very kind of like
serious,
like chestnut. It's very
super dark.
It's just a very dark brown, and it is very severe. There's no highlights. Like, I think it is.
That's what I'm saying.
I think she is going through a period where she's just like not her effervescent self. And I think that the hair reflects that.
I do too. And I think that I'm just saying, I think she looks so much better as a blonde, but I just want to make it known that I feel like there's a gorgeous brunette shade out there that would make her look stunning.
Well, we've seen it. She's had it before. Like they've had her hair darker on the show before,
but
they usually like do balayage it with some like little like blondish pieces just to like give it some volume and depth. I think the fact anytime anyone, I think going when your hair's really long and it's just like one shade and that shade is like very obviously a shade of hair dye, I think that's what it is. It looks like hair dye. It's not like, oh, this is a shade of brown that like really exists in nature. It's a shade of brown that looks like shoe polish. And I think that that is also contributing to the severity of the look.
I agree.
So I'm really glad that we...
that was just an emergency conversation.
Yeah, no, it was. And I'm really glad that we flagged that. I think it was important.
I would be remiss if we just...
Exactly.
Right over it.
No, we can't. We cannot. Okay, so Samantha spots her hot neighbor again later, peeling off his wetsuit. It is so hot. She heads to Beverly Hills to blow off steam shopping, where she comes across a dog adoption, because they have lots of those in Beverly Hills.
On Rodeo Drive. You can't.
On Rodeo Drive. They really care about those fosters. Yeah. When one of the dogs starts humping another dog, Samantha sees the dog is a kind of kindred spirit and adopts her or buys her. It's a Yorkie. I mean,
oh, she buys her. Give me a fucking break.
Yeah, it's a Yorkie.
Samantha's not like rescuing
it's not a rescue Yorkie. It's just a breeder dog.
It's
Yorkie.
A classic anyway. Rodeo Drive street Yorkie.
And exactly. Yeah. A street Yorkie. There's
a street Yorkie.
Such a thing.
The funniest thing I've ever heard.
Street Yorkie is
street Yorkie. this is a classic.
Poor thing suffered in the alley behind Chanel. Like,
what? I'll tell you what a street Yorkie is. There were these people walking their Yorkie, and I really just didn't think they deserved it. So I grabbed my street Yorkie. I actually love the storyline that Samantha has a dog, because I'm more into dogs than anything else. And so... Sure. Anytime someone gets a tiny cute dog, I think it's a joyous occasion.
Agreed. Okay.
So back in New York, Louise and Carrie keep unpacking Carrie's apartment. It's going all right until Carrie opens the wrong box.
Oh, no, here we go.
Wedding dress. Louise asks Carrie if she wants to get rid of it, but Carrie says no. She'll just shove it deep into her closet. Afterwards, Carrie invites Louise out for a drink. At the bar, they bond over exes they can't shake before Louise takes off to meet a guy she swears isn't booty calling her.
The next day, Carrie and Charlotte catch up for furniture shopping for Carrie's apartment. As they browse, Carrie says Harry called her. Carrie says Harry called her. Oh, God. Okay, I'm short-circuiting. Charlotte stopped going for her daily jogs in the park, and he's worried. Charlotte comes out with it. Everything's been going so well for her. She doesn't want to jinx things. Carrie reminds her that she shit herself, and that does it. Charlotte decides to go for a run again.
That's so funny that reminding her that she shit her pants was like, you're right, I'm empowered. I should go running.
Yeah, I know.
It's just like a really great pep talk about that.
I know.
And Carrie has another catch up with Louise before Louise heads home to St. Louis for the holidays. Carrie asks Louise to reject every single party invitation so that Carrie can kind of hide at home and keep sulking. She's kind of in this very agoraphobic mood where she can't really face people because she's so ashamed. But she and Louise do have a nice time exchanging gifts. Louise got Carrie a copy of Meet Me in St. Louis, which I've never seen, but I should definitely watch it because it keeps coming up in this show. I guess it's a rom-com. And Carrie got Louise her very own Louis Vuitton handbag. There's so much alliteration in this thing. It's Louise St. Louis, Louis Vuitton.
It's too much.
It's I'm a like, Louis themed up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's also just, it's in the movie. It's like,
it's
what,
all over the movie. Yeah.
What is that? Okay. Okay. Over at Miranda's, she preps Brady for New Year's Eve with Steve. When Brady takes off to grab a toy, Steve apologizes again for fucking that woman, and he invites Miranda to dinner. She says no. Carrie, meanwhile, watches Louise's movie and eats ramen before giving up and trying to sleep. Unfortunately, she gets woken up by a call from Miranda, who can't believe she's alone on New Year's. Carrie tries to sleep again, but she cannot. So she gets dressed and she heads out.
Which is so sweet. I mean, I have to say, as somebody who relies on friends as family a lot of times, I mean, I also have a really great family. I love moments like that.
Me too.
What follows is another montage of Big eating alone at a restaurant. Louise seeing the guy who broke up with her in St. Louis, Samantha and Smith making out, and Anthony and Stanford sharing a New Year's kiss. WTF? All building to Carrie showing up at Miranda's. Also, we can't just skim over this. It's really like, I've said it once, I've said it twice, I've said it a million times. Carrie showing up at the doorstep of Miranda, who's alone and heartbroken. That is the romance of the show. I would even say that Carrie and Miranda are like the real love story of the show.
Yes. Also, just a quick thing. I am not very clear on why Louise's man, who she ends up like getting engaged to, is kind of a shithead. Like, what was that plot point? Like,
well, what happened originally? Did he break up with her?
He breaks up with her. And then at the end, I mean, it's fine to skip ahead because it's not.
Yeah, we're talking about it.
Yeah, it's not major. But like, it's busy. She's like, Carrie, he proposed. And Carrie's like, that's great. Young love. And I'm like, but he dumped her earlier. Like, it just sounds like Big, which I don't know if that was intentional, but I'm like, you could have easily just been like, oh, like,
I met someone else.
You know, I fell in love with
Zumba classes.
Yeah. Or you could just not have him be a shithead and just be like, I broke up because I've been afraid of commitment and I had more in my life to do before I get, you know, it could be a sweet story. It's so strange that it's like, he broke up with me and then now we're engaged. You're like, okay.
I 1000% agree. I think that Louise, I think that she's a pretty rough character, but Jennifer Hudson like does as much as she can with her, because like
she does, she's like, definitely doing it she can,
because she also like her character is she came to New York to like pursue this like fashion thing, and then she ends up going back to the guy she broke up with and moving out of the city, like, and that's the victory for the character. It's like kind of rough. Like I Jennifer Hudson, very good. I think Louise the character, kind of rough.
No, I think Louise is like it's a messy character. I don't understand.
She's supposed to be Carrie, like a mirror to Carrie, right? Like how Carrie was.
Do you think maybe they made that like as almost like a foreshadowing of what's to come? It's like, oh, he dicked her over and now they're engaged. Like,
well, I feel bad saying this, but like I watched this movie like 1,000 years ago when we first recorded the first version of this. Like 6 weeks ago, or I'm just joking. It's like a couple weeks ago, but I do remember that she had an ex and they broke up, but I don't remember, nothing is stinging in my mind of being like, wow, this guy sounds horrible. It's just a breakup, right?
Yeah. I don't think it's, yeah, I don't think
people
it's that
break
he's...
up and get back together, right?
I guess so. Like I don't like it. I don't, I know that it happened.
Put your foot down, Jamie.
Well, I have to. Somebody has to around here because I just think I just remember
big character,
being
Will.
I would not be like, I got engaged to that dude who broke my heart. I'd be like, what the fuck is going on? I don't know. I don't like it.
Well, listeners, comment and DM us because let us know if you agree or disagree.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so the core four catch up later for Fashion Week, where Samantha scored them front row seats. Samantha takes off to do the rounds while Charlotte presses Miranda to get back with Steve. Carrie and Big, on the other hand, she never wants to see together again.
And after the show, Samantha runs into some protesters who douse her white fur coat with blood, which just makes Samantha nostalgic for New York yet again. And Carrie meets Louise's boyfriend, Will, who she got back together with after her St. Louis trip. Back at home, Carrie opens a Valentine's card from Lily and talks to Samantha in LA, who is putting together a romantic homemade sushi dinner for Smith. And it's not going great.
I love that. Miranda and Carrie meet up for Valentine's dinner together later.
Why would you have looked at the Vogue today of all days?
Because I'm an emotional cutter. I deserve what I got. Running all over New York, believing that I'm finally getting my happy ending. You know, see, love does conquer all. You know, look at me in my one-of-a-kind wedding gown, marrying the love of my life.
Would you like another bottle?
Yes. And Miranda, in that article, I did not say we once. No, no, the whole article was, I think, and I want.
It was from your point of view.
Yeah, exactly, my point of view. Exactly, the whole wedding was my point of view. I let the wedding get bigger than Big. I am the reason that he did not get out of that car.
Okay. I said something to Big that I shouldn't have at the rehearsal dinner.
What do you mean?
After Steve showed up, I was really upset. And I bumped into Big. And I said that you two were crazy to get married.
Here we go. Here's Shiraz.
Such good comedic.
I know.
With that.
Okay, great. Thanks
so much.
Weaky
wine.
Sorry. I was upset. Steve,
I have been going over this and over this in my mind for 5 months. And for 5 months, you kept a secret like that?
I tried to tell you once, but then...
Once? You tried to tell me once? You should have tried to tell me every single day.
I know. I was waiting for the right time.
There is no right time to tell me that you ruined my marriage.
It just happened.
Oh, my God.
I wasn't thinking. Carrie, please don't go.
You know what I think hurts the most? Is that you kept a secret from me. And I have never, ever kept a secret from you. Ever.
SJP is such a good actress.
No,
it's crazy.
I'm lying. No, for the last 5 months, I've been thinking that it is a huge mistake that you left Steve. There. How does it feel?
Great scene.
What a scene.
Sarah Jessica Parker had a really awesome movie career before she became a big television star. She's in this adorable 90s comedy called Miami Rhapsody, where she is so fucking cute. It's a great rom-com.
It's a great movie.
It's great. And I'm listening to this scene and I'm like, wow, did people just really pigeonhole her as a TV actress after this? Because she could do anything. She should have been Meg Ryan in like every movie. She's amazing.
I know. She's just, she's so dynamic and like she really can pull off like such a range. It's really amazing.
What do you think about this scene?
I think that, okay, look, it does suck to have your friend tell someone you're crazy to get married, but like to think that Big's entire like way of thinking and the like their relationship fallout, like to think that would hinge on Miranda making some flippant comment off of being upset, that logic is not there for me. I don't get that. Yeah, it does suck because it's like, oh man, like, well, I've been going over this whole relationship in my head so much. Like, that's just a new thing for me to think about. You know, like, I'll just add that to the pile of like spiral thoughts that I have that like, oh, maybe it's what Miranda said, or maybe it's me, or maybe it's him, or maybe it's all of it. Like, yeah. Other than that, though, I mean, I guess my point is I don't think that this makes sense as a plot point. I think it can lead to an argument. And I thought that it was a well-written argument, but I do think that it's just irrational to think that a comment like that would actually, the line where she says that you're responsible for ruining my marriage, that feels insane. But also, if the point of the scene is to show how wounded Carrie is, that she would actually say something that irrational, then it's good. You know, like maybe she's so fucking hurt that like she wants to believe that, like she wants to scapegoat Miranda because it's easier than facing that, like everything with Big is just like years and years and years of like emotional hardship, you know? So I'm not sure what the point of the scene was 100%. But it was well acted regardless. What do you think? What?
I love your analysis and I completely agree with you. Like when you hear it and she says, you ruined my marriage, to me, that's like, wait, isn't it Valentine's Day that they're having dinner? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so let's just like, it's Valentine's Day. You are left at the altar. You're alone and all of your friends are married and all your friends are coupled and everyone's happy. And then your friend just told you something that really hurt your feelings. So you're just going to say whatever, you know, she's just like unleashing and unloading. And I think it's like, we all say things when we're upset that aren't true. For example, of course, Miranda didn't, you know, I could tell Skylar, you know, you and Kristen should break up. And obviously he'd be like, no.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, right. I don't think that if Kristen's listening, you should stay together. I love you guys as a couple. But I agree with you completely. What I do think when you ask about the point of the scene, I think the point of the scene is, and we've talked about it before in previous analyses of this movie, there's something very clever that happens in the movie, which is that Miranda and Carrie are deluding themselves and they're blaming their partners for everything, whereas they are part of the problem and they're just both in denial. And so I think the point of this scene is both of them kind of having a moment of listen, I'm your friend, so of course I'm going to say, oh babe, that's so hard, he sucks, but this is a moment of like, stop it.
Yeah,
it takes two to tango, you're part of this, like, you know. And I think almost the entire part of this scene is Carrie telling Miranda what she really thinks about her and Steve.
It's also back to the drinking conversation earlier, because it almost goes unremarked on. They're a full bottle of wine in too. So it's like, it's raw nerve stuff and they've been drinking. So I think that like they're at a point where they can say harsher stuff to each other than they might in other circumstances. So okay. I agree with you on the plot point. I don't think it really makes a whole lot of sense, but I think in terms of like the emotional grounding,
it works.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
I also feel that I think in a real close friendship, you know, when your friends are hurting, of course you want to be there and loving. But if they're part of the problem, it sucks, but you do have to tell them. It's like, if you really care about somebody, you can't just let them wallow in self-pity when they're making self-sabotaging choices. You also have to say at some point, I know you're hurt, but I don't think it was all his fault. Or like, you know,
right.
So this is the real talk moment. And like a lot of people in real life who are totally scared to have real talk with friends, lovers and family, most people do it when they're drunk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Truth juice. It's truth juice.
Truth juice. Blending it up. Yeah. So over in L.A., Samantha goes through with her naked sushi plan for Smith, only for the phone to ring once she's covered in sushi and cannot get up. It's Smith on the phone. His shoot is running late. Samantha, frustrated, gets off the table to check in on her hot neighbor again, who it turns out is having the elaborate night of sex she wanted. When Smith finally does show up, Samantha pelts him with her sushi and storms off.
Also, because that description sounds like Samantha's being irrational. I thought Smith was extremely rude and was like, what's the big deal?
Oh, yeah.
Who cares?
Oh,
totally. It's like, it's Valentine's Day and she literally made this elaborate thing and there was no like, oh, I'm really sorry. That's horrible. Why don't I? It was just like, what? Like, which is, I thought, unacceptable.
Yeah, I also think, whatever, this is such a conversation for like another day, but I also am in a place where I think this scene is kind of representative of how I feel about being a straight person in general. It is so hard not to conflate the privilege that men have with feeling specifically angry at your partner.
Like, that's interesting.
I've noticed it, like, looking back at most of my relationships, I'm like, I'm always like irritated with something they do. And sometimes, yeah, it's like even if they don't really do something that bad, I like extrapolate it and make it this bigger thing. And I'm like, I think some of that is just like inherent, like resentment of the patriarchy. And I think it is, I think it's hard to be a straight person, even when your partner is an ally, doing all the things he can do, all the things there for you, you know, building you up, all the things. It's like, I think that, you know, I've noticed a lot of women are just kind of like always like annoyed with their man. Like, even if they love them, I feel like you hear that a lot. Like, mm-hmm. I don't hear men as much being like, oh, my partner really annoyed me. It's usually like women are always like nitpicky. And I wonder if some of that comes from the fact that we're just a little like, you guys better fucking bring it, because we bring it so hard for you. Like all the time, like dressing up, looking cute, spending money on makeup, spending money on, you don't spend as much money as we do. You don't have to. Like, it's just like, there is just something that is inherently hard about being straight. I know that's a crazy thing to say, because that is just, it's an insane thing to say, because obviously there's the heteronormative lifestyle is accepted and that makes it easier inherently, but there is a curse to being straight as well. And I think that is it.
It's interesting that you say that, because her storyline is a lot about her losing herself in a man.
Exactly.
Like being like his support. It's also really interesting because we're talking about New York a lot right now. And like Samantha's so lonely out there in LA. And I think it's really interesting that the city of LA also is really hard for her.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope I don't, well, whatever. I was about to be like, I hope I don't sound like I'm so sick of apologizing for what I think. I don't
apologize. That's... You didn't say anything wrong. Also, okay. You know what? Here's the thing I think that's really tricky. And I feel it during a podcast too, because we're just talking off the cuff and being ourselves. And it's such a crazy time where it feels like everything is a landmine, like making a single statement is so scary. But you didn't say anything.
I think
crazy.
Also though, I think you have to come at it from a place of like, yeah, I stand by it. That's how I felt at the time. I think that's all you can do. As long as you're not being like flagrantly insensitive.
No, and as long as you're not being a shithead and stuff and telling people not to get vaccinated on your podcast that is mostly privileged white guys.
Exactly. Oh, please.
So back in New York, Miranda really puts in the work to make up with Carrie. She sends flowers and calls, but Carrie is not having it. So Miranda finally just shows up at her place in a cab. They talk and Miranda agrees to see Steve again. They try counseling together, which, while intense, is productive. Miranda catches up with Carrie afterwards to discuss her and Steve's plan. They're going to separate for a bit, then meet again to see if being back together feels right. They've even chosen a spot for it, the middle of the Brooklyn Bridge. This is maybe the most romantic moment in any film or television show.
I think about this scene all the time. I think it is so, even if people like hadn't seen the movie, I think everyone needs to see this scene and like obviously the have the context for it so they know what they're saying. But I think the scene is so important because I think that the feelings of, what happened? I cut out?
No. Sorry, that was me like reacting because I don't like this scene.
Oh, okay. No, I want to hear that. I want to hear that. I love that. Please. I mean, that's like what this
that
whole
was
thing
so funny,
about.
Skylar. You were just like, oh no.
Oh, I love it. I love it because, well, I'll just say my piece and I want to hear what you think, Sky, because I think that's interesting because Rose and I love this scene. But I love it because I think that it is a thing that a lot of couples come up against. I don't think every couple cheats on each other. That's not what I'm saying. But like just that active choice to like move forward, or like you can't, you have too much resentment. I just think that's like very cool to explore in a show where, you know, I think there's just a lot of like being single and fabulous. Like, I think it's cool to just play out like what happens when you have this person who's your person, but you guys like become distant, and like, how do you move on from that? I just like the way it sort of encapsulates that, and in a very clear way, with like a really fun visual being the Brooklyn Bridge. Anyways, I want to hear what you have to say, Sky.
While I totally, the thing is, I like the scene itself. I think that the big cathartic Miranda and Steve meeting back together is very sweet and well staged. I think the setup and run up to it is just a little absurd. It's just like a little, it's just a little underplayed, where it's like, it very much feels manufactured for that moment, where it's where it just feels like we need,
You don't think the therapist would actually give that advice. Is that what you're saying?
Well, that or like, why the Brooklyn Bridge? Like, why it's like, why the Brooklyn Bridge is because it's an iconic New York landmark, not necessarily because it's like Steve and Miranda have some major attachment to the center of the Brooklyn Bridge. I just feel like it's like,
I have to say, this makes me worried that you're not romantic enough.
No, the thing is, the thing is,
so romantic. I mean, I'm fucking telling you, in my whole life, I don't think anyone will ever do anything as romantic to me as saying, if we love each other and we want to make this work, meet me.
I'm going to start crying. I'm definitely hungover. I'm going to start crying. Yeah.
That's the thing where I'm like,
it's actually giving me ideas. It's giving me ideas for dates. I'm just thinking, while I'm in New York, I'm going to tell somebody, let's meet up in the middle of the Williamsburg Bridge. How romantic. How fucking romantic.
Not great.
Skylar?
There's not great cell phone service there though, so I would maybe choose a different bridge. Just want to flag that.
My God, Jamie, don't.
I know. I don't mean to piss on it, but it is something you should consider, because if you're trying to find him, you might not be able to send him a text.
Just bring a little smoke signal.
It's like it's not unlike like the end of Sleepless, where we
did
really
you just go
need...
Sleepless in Seattle? Sleepless.
Yeah, sorry. I'm saving time.
Wow, you're a real rom-com.
Oh, yeah. I fucking
but it's
love
like,
him.
It's like I love Sleepless in Seattle. I think it's like
at the end of SIS. Yeah. You're like, wait, what's SIS? Yeah. You're
like, that'd be awesome. For like, oh, Sleepless in Seattle, definitely.
I think people are very rude to that movie, and it annoys me because I
hate that movie.
I really like it. Because people get very. mad at Meg Ryan for like going across the country and being soccery or whatever. But that's a movie where it's like the manufactured elements of it really work for me. But they also get mad at the like, we need to meet at the top of the Empire State Building. And I get again, like the sort of visual cinematic reasoning to like stage somebody there. But it is not something that like most human beings do. And Steve and Miranda are like some of the most grounded of the characters in that way, where it's like, I could see this being a Charlotte and Harry thing. It just bumps me for Steve and Miranda to do this particular thing.
Here's the thing. Everyone's opinion is valid. Everyone's opinion is valid. We're just analyzing
that.
In this case, you're absolutely wrong. And like, that's you could go to jail for that opinion.
Yeah, it's okay.
In the middle of this podcast, I'm hiring somebody to take a cane and like, and remove Skylar.
Okay. That is true. Sky, you are canceled. But, but before we cancel you officially, I just want to say, I think having lived in Brooklyn fairly close to that bridge, I don't know why that bridge has been slightly normalized in my head to where it's not so landmarky.
Hashtag normalize the bridge.
Normalize the bridge. No, but I mean, like, I've been on that bridge so many times, just like walking and like not even like taking in the sights, like literally just like being on my phone, because it's a functional ass bridge that like really does like get you into the city if you need to like go on foot or on bike. So I wonder, like, it is interesting because it's like, it is just gimmicky enough while not being completely like, also, I think that the romantic element of it is baked into the decision, because it's already romantic. So why be like, let's meet in front of the poke bowl place on 23rd.
I'm more into the poke bowl place. I like the, it's like, let's go to our special poke bowl place.
I have to flag something. this is not a real conversation. It is no doubt romantic what they do. The fact it that is, we're like that's what, wondering if I'm, it is, it
wait,
is.
Rose, I'm agreeing and I'm saying, what I'm saying though is that I don't think it's fake to pick somewhere romantic because if you're showing up for each other, you're not, romantic. Again, you're not going to be like, meet me on like a Columbus Circle, like in front of the Trump Hotel. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah, exactly.
The thing is, I don't not find it romantic. I think it's romantic. I think it's just very forced and contrived for the moment. Like I can feel the legwork to make it all happen.
But you know what, Skylar? Sometimes planning is part of romance. That's the thing. It's like, you know, when somebody, I'm like sweating. I'm just saying, Sky. But like the thing about forced, if your partner was like, I got us a beautiful hotel in this gorgeous place. They got rose petals and champagne. That's forced, but it's also wonderful. So,
Works. It works. All of it works.
Yeah. Planning is part of romance.
Unfortunately, all of the cliches work on me very well.
Like chocolate flowers, honestly, check and check.
If someone said you complete me, I wouldn't even go, that's a quote from Jerry Maguire. I'd be like, I do.
Like, I'd be like, I just came three times.
I'd be like, I literally just came three times.
Whereas I would say, like, that's Jerry Maguire. Please talk to me like we talk.
Right. Like, if somebody said that to me, I would be like, Goop is not just a blog, it's also in my pants.
Yeah. It's not just a great chapstick.
I've heard that bad joke.
I've heard the chapstick.
Goop.
Here's the thing, Skylar. What is romance if you don't plan it?
It's not just a blog. It's also in my pants.
Thank you, Jamie.
Sorry. We just need to take a moment. We can't just pretend like that didn't happen.
It's more like
God.
If we're being honest, we have to add.
It's also so funny to call Goop a blog. It's like literally a media empire.
It's like a multi-billion blog.
You're treating it like it's a WordPress.
So cute what they do over there.
Do you guys know that Substack?
That Tumblr? You know that pretty successful Tumblr?
That got adapted into like a pretty talked about Netflix series. You know that?
Do you guys know that My Live Journal, Goop? Okay, well, what we've learned now
are
is
we ever going to finish this episode?
Guys,
should this be four parts?
It should. Guys, I'm just saying one thing. I'm starting a GoFundMe for Kristen's romantic campaign so that we can have somebody teach. I'm going to hire a romance counselor.
We're going to get rose petals donated from all of the florists all over the world.
Yeah, so Skylar,
to have
romance
on the bed.
Planned, you know what, Skylar, you're a Miranda because you're like, you think what's romantic is like eating a hoagie and just like burping in the hall together.
To be at the bodega with my girl.
But you guys, I think it should be four parts. I do think that's funny that we keep delaying finishing.
That is funny.
Yeah, I mean, it is funny. I mean, kind of like who's writing the rules here? Us.
Guys, last time I checked, we are the emperors of our own life.
Yeah, the last time I drank a Red Bull vodka.
Are you drinking a Red Bull vodka now, Jamie? You are amazing today.
No, but I am like jonesing for one.
I just want to say, I feel like the way that we've treated this movie is very much like makes mine and Jamie's case where it's like, this is TV, this movie. Like this is like so much.
Oh my God, you're so right, Sky.
It's a whole season of the show. That's the thing. Like that's very much my feeling.
That is so true. The reason, well, I mean, we're also like, whatever, having, you know, barrels of laughs over here. So we're not like in any rush, but at the same time, there really is so much to cover.
Yes.
Yeah, barrels. Yeah. I said it. So I don't understand.
Also, this podcast is all about tangents and lulls. And like, so things will take as long as it takes. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nobody's listening to this podcast in a rush to get to the end. All of our comments are
nobody's listening to this podcast.
Oh no.
No one's listening.
And I've got the receipts to prove it.
Guys. Okay, I just want to stop down and say, I love that I promised at the top, and that is not getting cut out. I love that at the top of this episode, we promised that we were finishing the Sex and the City movie, this episode of this podcast. And I am thrilled to say that was a complete lie. We are not done and we will not rush to finish.
Guys, I'm here to say that I think this is one of our funniest eps.
I love this episode. Oh my God. Going after Skylar not being romantic is so funny.
I have been accused of not being romantic in my life, so it's not. Yes. So this is very legitimate.
We're just getting to unpeel the layers of you. I feel like the first 35 minutes of learning about Jamie's identity as a Red Bull hoe was incredible.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, so what are you horny for, James?
Oh, God. Okay. What? Okay, so yes, well, we'll close it out officially. Sex in the City is obviously a very horny show, so we end each episode by sharing what we are currently horny for. Okay. That said, I am horny for... I'm going to say I'm horny for my partnership with Skylar Hanrath because we've been busy over the years, but like we really got very busy recently in sort of like a new fun way where we're trying to like work on multiple things at one time and like really like collaborating to figure out the best way to make all of it happen without one of us feeling like insanely spread thin. So yeah, it's just like really fun to like see us like working together to like build whatever it is we're building.
I agree. And I love doing it. It's very fortunate. And it's also so fun. And I think the stuff is
fun. Aren't we having fun? I feel like we're having fun.
You guys have such an awesome relationship.
The worst boss ever. You're having fun, right, Sky? Like you would tell me if you weren't having fun.
I'm third wheels of this work marriage. He's like, there's like a gun under the table.
Well, what's psycho about Skylar that honestly it like pisses me off because it's actually crazy is that Skylar is such a good assistant, but he's too good to reduce to just being an assistant. So he knows this, but like I'm really
development
working
partner.
He has to be. Yeah, we have to like bump Skylar up because like there's more there, and it's just I feel very fortunate because it's like, oh, he also is like an amazing assistant, which by the way is I was a fucking terrible assistant. And I just really respect people who can like juggle schedules and like deal with admin tasks in like a very calm way. And that is not me at all. And yeah, but that's just like a bonus because that's not even like what he does best.
No, he's a creative partner.
Exactly. It's amazing.
Here's the thing. My dad always said, no matter what job you ever have, whether it's sweeping the floors or something, you know, being a CEO, you have to do it amazingly well. And that's what Skylar does. And that's why he's coming up.
And I did not do that. I was like, not the person who's like, if you get coffee, be the best coffee getter there is.
Well,
I was
don't
like,
say I don't that because you're really successful. Your so you don't want people to do what you do.
Well, it's all also like,
yeah, maybe.
I remember like in like college and high school when I was like what do I want to do professionally or whatever, I remember I had like this like
you're like work kind with of Jamie Lee.
Well, no, I had this like vague goal that was like I know that ultimately what I want to do is I want to write and I want to work with other writers, and that was like I thought at the time like a good answer to that question. And then like there was a period where I was like that's a little too vague, but now I'm like that's what I get to do, and I feel so fortunate to like get to do it with people like you all. Like you're all such like tremendously talented people, and it's like that it turns out the vagary was
I love our little and helpful.
I love our fest. I love everyone on this pod because not only are they so talented, but also I love them.
I know it's pretty rare. It's rare to like respect people's talents and abilities and then also be like also just a great ass person.
You're a great ass dude. Hate to tell you.
Yeah, I was a great ass dude. Wait, Rose, what are you horny for?
I think I'm horny for being in NYC right now and taking advantage of the virtual life and just like hitting the streets.
Oh my God. Okay. Yeah. You listeners, you didn't see, but she raised her arms when she said that.
And it was sexy. She threw them up.
Yeah. Okay, guys. Well, you know, I'm actually not going to say when we're going to finish this movie because I think that
it may never end. This might be the new podcast.
This honestly might just be oh my God, if we stayed on this movie for two years, that would be the funniest thing in the world. That is so funny. Even if it was 1 year this and then the next year is two.
Yeah, yeah.
Or what if the first year is this and then the second year is like recapping our recaps of like, how did that feel to you guys?
Were we good there?
That
I don't know.
So funny. Oh my God. I love that as an idea. It's so funny. Recapping what the last year was. Like,
yeah, like did you feel like we had good analyses?
Yeah. What were your favorite moments? Like, do you still feel the same way about Miranda and Steve on the bridge?
A year later? I will.
Yeah, I think you will too. Okay. Love you guys. We'll talk to you next week.
I love you too. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Couldn't Help But Wonder. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CHBWPod. And follow my co-host, Rose Cerno, on Insta and Twitter at Rose Cerno. And please follow my co-host, Jamie, at ReallyJamieLee on Instagram and at TheJamieLee on Twitter. And please rate, review, subscribe to our show on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app if you're nasty. It helps us. It helps you. It helps everyone.
You nasty.
Bye.
Bye.
Forever.
This has been a Forever Dog production, executive produced by Joe Cilio, Alex Ramsey, and Brett Boehm. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcast.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Forever Dog Team and liking our page on Facebook.